All right, 10 past 8 o'clock on this rainy Monday morning. Last Friday, the Michigan Historic Preservation Network honored Marcia Haynes with a Lifetime Achievement Award for a contribution to historic preservation in Michigan and in recognition of, and I love the wording here, and TJ, I don't know if you had anything to do with this, TJ Gaffney in the studio with us right now.
How are you doing,
TJ?
Paul?
Yeah. You nominated Marcia for this recognition, right?
Yes, and the one, I would be remiss if I didn't say that the one who really pushed it through was Ruth Mills from Quinn Evans and also with Michigan Historic Preservation Network. She's known by several folks in the area. Quinn Evans was very involved in the Fort Gratiot Lighthouse rebricking a few years ago, and she is from our area and is one of the many people who consider Marcia a mentor.
And so this is for contribution to historic preservation in Michigan and in recognition of, again, I just love the wording, her 50-year career as a historian and the, quote, bulldog of preservation in Port Huron and Michigan. No better way to remember her than that, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. She was relentless when it came to preserving our area's history. And you know, it's funny because I actually was privileged to take Marcia to the memorial service for yet another community, Yayakon Linsicori.
Yeah.
And sort of the 1-2 punch of those two women when it came to preserving our history and in really, you know, wearing their love of the community on their sleeves,
yeah,
can't be understated.
No, absolutely. Marcia was one of those people. I think most of us see things and we say, well, somebody ought to do something about that. Somebody should start an Alzheimer's and dementia committee in,
yep,
Port Huron. Somebody should do something about the train bridge or the light, whatever it is that needs to be preserved. Most of us just sit back and say somebody ought to do that. She actually did it.
Absolutely. And time, as you said, time and time again, one of the comments that Ruth made during the presentation that I thought was it was just so fitting was, you know, she started listing off her accomplishments, and then she just kind of paused and she says, and if you aren't keeping track, that was just the 1970s, you know, and I mean, that was her in a nutshell. I have sort of a, you know, one of the things that everybody's got a Marcia story,
yeah,
in a lot of ways, but I keep telling people that in some ways I don't, a lot of people understand how well she was known in the community, but I don't think people truly understood how much she was respected outside of her community.
Yeah.
Obviously, with Michigan Historic Preservation Network, but I think you're aware, Paul, Marcia went to Denison University, which is also my alma mater, my wife's alma mater, and she was very proud of that fact, A couple of my fraternity brothers were doing an internship with Senator Richard Lugar, who also had been the former mayor of Indianapolis and was a very powerful man in his own right. And I happened to go with them to his office at one point in time, and it just tells you the kind of connections that she had, and that, you know, he came out and he says, TJ Gaffney. He's like, Marcia's told me all about you. You know?
Wow.
Yeah. And so, wow, you know, that kind of tells you. And,
yeah,
and Dick was a classmate of Marcia's. So,
how about that?
Yeah. So, and again, she had, the comment that keeps coming out is, you know, she had the Rolodex of Rolodexes.
Yeah.
She could, you know, and there were, quite frankly, titans of industry in this, mm-hmm, community who would quiver at the mere mention of her name. And I think that's a fair statement,
mm-hmm,
you know, and good and bad. But, I mean, the reality of it was, I mean, she, by sheer force of her will, made things happen in this community.
And all coming from a good place in,
yes,
her heart, I think. She,
absolutely,
wanted what was best for this community. She certainly wanted its history to be preserved,
yes,
where it could be.
Yep.
Mainly in this community, but outside the community as well. You and I were just talking about the Round Island.
Yep.
Round
Island Lighthouse. Yep.
Thank you. Which and I was looking at the picture that you posted a little while ago on Facebook of what it looked like before.
Yeah.
the president. It was going to. It was just falling into the water.
It was literally falling into the water. And the thing was, she really kind of saved it twice. There was the first initial stabilization, and then they were. There were issues in the 80s, even after they finished the original restoration, in that you know, wave actions and things were literally eroding things around it, and so then she, you know, went back out and did it again. Yeah. You know, Marcia always she always had these sort of little quips that would come out, and I know, you know, Paul, you've heard several of them over the years, but you know, she said she was doing lighthouses before lighthouses were cool. So you know, and she did. I mean, none of the things that ultimately have made transferring lighthouses a much simpler process, a much more integrated process now, was there when she saved Round Island.
Yeah.
She really had to go to bat, you know, all the way to the top in Washington to make that happen. And, you know, like I say, what is often, as we all know, sort of the finish line of the race for all of our folks that do the Mackinac race, you know, they can credit Marcia for that being there still.
Yeah, love seeing that when we head up to Mackinac Island on the ferry, and it's just, it's iconic. It's
absolutely,
it's that thing that you look at, and we can thank her for that. I mean, she was tenacious. She wouldn't take no for an answer. And if no was the answer, she'd go at it a different
absolutely
angle. I mean, there were
absolutely
all kinds of different ways to get things done.
Yeah, and I think if, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, if there's something to be learned from her, is, you know, she had sort of this never give up, never surrender mentality. You know, and I think too, you know, she, in I tried to talk with her about this a little bit in the last few months, and she kind of poo-pooed it, as she often did with some things, but I don't think that it should be lost that she was a woman that was trying to do things in what was very much a man's world, and in a very male-dominated area.
Sure.
And so she had to kind of have that pit bull mentality to get things done, and it very much shaped, I think, who she was. And quite frankly, I think it's a very fair statement to say that there are several women in this community who wouldn't have had some of the opportunities that they eventually had if Marcia hadn't blazed the trail.
Yeah.
Now, and Marcia would be the first one to say she wasn't the only one, but she was definitely one of the ones blazing that trail.
That's a great point, absolutely. Yeah. A life well lived. I mean, lived to 90 years old, and was active right up to the end, despite you know, illness in recent years.
Well, as her son David said, every single one of us that knew her have a to-do list that will continue after she's gone,
yeah.
And we have been given directions. And so, you know, as they say, that to-do list is seemingly perpetual. Yes, absolutely. She, in her impact, I think, is one of those things, and it hit me, it's starting to hit me now, but it's like her sort of omnipresence that was there. You know, it's tough getting my mind around the fact that there's a world without Marcia Haynes in it right now. You know, and it's, There are people in this community, not a lot of them, obviously, that you kind of say that, but they're there, and you kind of just figure they're always going to be there. I think Lynn was very much that way, too, but, you know, it's just, it's surreal right now to think that Marcia's not there, and yet, on a certain level, she is.
Well, exactly, because that to-do list is still there.
It's still there.
And you know, I got to ask you, TJ, do you feel the weight of the torch being passed by? Because you are a historic preservationist. I don't think you would argue that. You know, we've lost some great ones in very recent times. And now it's up to, maybe not you single-handedly personally, but the next generation. Our generation is it.
Yeah, in terms of the weight, I think, and I'll throw it back to another person who Marcia definitely was a surrogate mom to, as well as myself and several others. You know, a very good a friend and a leader in his own right in the community, Ed Weichler. Ed's favorite comment is "pay it forward," and Marcia lived that, and was always sort of saying that same thing. So if there is a weight, it's the sense of, okay, you know, you pick up the mantle, but more importantly, you know, we need to be the ones that bring that next generation in and yeah. give them the reason to do it. And there, you know, as Marcia said, in I think that was the thing that always sort of kept her young in a lot of ways. Because yeah. she always had a very, to me, she always had a very young personality.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Young at heart, you know. And it was not cliche in her case, but it was a case of, you know, she really understood the fact that what you or I or her considered to be historic, that changes over time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the things that, you know, our kids are going to see as historic are different, and if we are going to evolve, we need to respect those things just as much as, you know, everything that we fought for or that she fought for or her predecessors. So
people have been asking about you know, funeral arrangements, things like that. I guess the family is planning a celebration of life, but it will be sometime in the next month. It's
yeah.
not anything imminent. So
that's my understanding, and again, you know, it's just now starting to get around, and as I say, there's several folks with outside of our community yeah. that want to say some things too, but it really is an amazing thing that the staying power that she had, and Paul, I think you know, she had dealt with a variety of health issues
yeah.
in her later years, particularly congestive heart failure, it didn't matter. I mean, she just, you know, particularly with everything that she had to deal with Fred and the realization of the fact that there really wasn't anything there for Alzheimer's, you know, she could have very easily, my Lord, she did so much.
Mm-hmm.
She could have stepped away. And no,
yep.
you know, this was her push. This was, you know.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. And just the timing of this Lifetime Achievement Award being presented on the day that she died. I mean, I don't know what to say about it other than
there's nothing more Marcia than that. That's what you can say.
Right.
You know, and according to what David told us, Joe Brigitte and myself, and Joe had actually gone over, and again, Joanne has been a very close friend,
yeah.
And that for her as well. And bottom line, they had set everything up so that she could hear the presentation and that, and they were live streaming it, and you know, they sort of stepped out of the room, and things got kind of quiet, and as you saw the comments there, they heard that, and that was sort of that, and that just it mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, that's just so Marcia, you
just
know?
A perfect bookend.
Yes, absolutely,
to a life very well lived. TJ, thanks for coming in this morning. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me, and it was great talking about a very good friend and mentor.
Yeah, no doubt. She was that to so many. TJ Gaffney with us on WPHM. It is 8:23 here on WPHM.